The reading today comes from Psalm 116 in page 510 of your pew Bibles. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O Lord, return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
Hello, and welcome to the 11 a.m. service. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Tom. I used to be a ministry trainee here a few years ago. I now work full-time as a maths teacher. I'm going to start today's sermon with a question. Does anyone hear our prayers for help? And does anyone answer them? And now, if you are unreligious, you may not pray very often, and perhaps only when you're at your lowest, or something terrible is on the horizon, a sort of prayer of desperation, a shot in the dark when disaster strikes, a God, I don't know if you're there, but please do something, or even a God, why me? How could you let this happen? Sort this out now. But do prayers like this really have any hope of being answered? If you're religious, then perhaps you pray more regularly. But does the God you call on listen to you? Do you know that they care? When a real disaster strikes, something that's unavoidable, inescapable, undefeatable, can they actually help you? Or is prayer just a form of self-talk, a kind of chance to gather your thoughts, but doesn't really do anything outside of your own head? Even as Christians, we may sometimes doubt whether Jesus is really listening to us and whether he really can save us when we call on him. Intense suffering or unanswered prayers may make us wonder, does anyone hear our prayers for help? Does anyone answer them? Or is it all just mind games, wishful thinking, empty words? Well, the message of this psalm is that Jesus hears the voice of all who cry to him, and he delivers them from death. And I've been praying that this knowledge would encourage us all to be quicker and bolder to call out to Jesus in help in times of trouble, and to thank and praise him in times of rescue. So Psalm 116 is the testimony of a believer who has experienced this. He was facing certain death, unavoidable, inescapable, undefeatable. But he cried out to God for mercy, and God answered him. So now he sings, recalling that terrible disaster, his prayer, God's rescue and vowing to live his life for God in response. And so our first point, call on the name of the Lord, verses 1 and 2. And these verses summarize his testimony. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. And so because God listened to me when I cried out to him for mercy, I love him and will continue to call on him. And hopefully this logic makes sense. I mean, of course, we love those who listen to us, particularly when we're desperate and need help. And when a friend or family member comes to our aid at a really difficult time, listens to our plight, does whatever they can to make it better, it persuades us that they really love us, that they care. And we, in turn, love them even more, learn to trust and rely on them in difficult times even more, and because they've proven themselves reliable. And now that's his experience with God. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice. Now, we're not actually told much about the psalmist, about the disaster, or how God rescued him. But whatever it was, we know it was life and death. Unavoidable, inescapable, undefeatable. And in the face of such a disaster, he calls on the name of the Lord. And so this is not a shot in the dark, hope for the best, God, if you're there, please do something, prayer to an unknown God. The psalmist calls on a known God who has revealed himself. And the phrase calling on the name of the Lord and the name the Lord are everywhere in this psalm. Now, the Lord, when it's written in all caps, is God's name, Yahweh. It is the name of the God of Old Testament Israel who revealed himself in the Exodus. The Lord who heard the cries of his people in slavery and in compassion rescued them and took them as his covenant people. The Lord who, when asked for his name at the burning bush, simply said, I am who I am. And that is, I am not defined by anything or anyone else. I have always been and will always be. I was never created or came into existence. I just am. And the Lord who, when he passed before Moses to proclaim his name, said, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And in the New Testament, the apostles regularly take Old Testament verses about the Lord, i.e. Yahweh, and apply them to Jesus, the Lord. The heart of the gospel is that Jesus is Lord. Indeed, the Greek word that's used for Lord in the New Testament is used for Yahweh in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Jesus is the Lord, the creator God, the rescuing God, the powerful and compassionate God whom we call upon for salvation. For us as Christians, to call on the name of the Lord is to call on the name of Jesus and him alone for salvation. So this is not a kind of general belief in the power of prayer, nor is it kind of positive thinking. This is about calling on the Lord God, the covenant God, who has made himself known, first in the Exodus, then more supremely in Christ. He is the one we pray to. But what does it actually mean to call on his name? It turns out this kind of calling upon the Lord language is used in two slightly different settings in the psalm. So initially, it is the response to the disaster. The psalmist is surrounded and trapped by death, and so he calls on the name of the Lord, a plea for mercy. But it also becomes a response to his rescue from disaster. no longer just a cry for help, but an act of public worship, a sign of gratitude and praise. So call on the name of the Lord in disaster, but also in response to deliverance from disaster. So first, verses 3 to 11, call on the name of the Lord in disaster. Verse 3, the snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Just imagine it. Death looming over you like a hunter lying in wait. He gets out his snares and traps, and before you know it, death has you. You feel a rope around your arms and legs. You feel it tighten its grip. You struggle with all the force you can generate, but none of your limbs move. The bonds are too strong. You are hopeless and helpless. Death has you and won't let you go. Unavoidable, inescapable, undefeatable. Now the descriptions in Psalm 116 are kind of so intense. This experience might feel a bit unrelatable. What if my life so far has actually felt pretty safe and secure, free from danger, death far away? And for sure, these words may resonate more with those who are sick or dying or in danger or who have family members that are. But actually, all of us should be able to relate to this experience. And we are all, by nature, mortal and sinful. Death is unavoidable, inescapable, undefeatable, hunting us all. And lying in wait with snares we cannot escape. And we all live in a world that is under the shadow of death. And we might not feel the distress right now, but death is waiting for us. I'm sure there are some here who don't really need persuading of this, because the words of this psalm are kind of too real already. I'm sorry if that's the case. For me personally, several close family members have either died or been brought close to death in the past 2 years. It is a terrible reality, it shouldn't be a surprising or unusual one. It is one we must all reckon with. And we all need deliverance from death. And it is in this helpless state the psalmist cries out, "Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul." And this is what it means to call on the Lord Jesus. Realizing that you are surrounded by the forces of evil, death, diseases, disasters, and that you need rescue. And so crying out to Jesus. And the Gospels are full of such stories. Men and women who are sick, sinful, scared, coming to Jesus and saying, "Lord, have mercy on me." Now, verses 5 and 6 explain why we can be confident in these prayers. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. So yes, the Lord is a God powerful enough to be able to save, but he is also gracious and merciful. And now if either of these things weren't true, there'd be no point in calling on him. So suppose you're in a massive debt of the order of millions of pounds. You could cry out to your parents or a close friend. And no doubt they love you. They probably feel very bad for you. They would want to help. But unless you happen to have a very rich friend or relative, sympathy would be all they could offer you. And they just don't have the power to do anything. And there's nothing they can do. Or you could try ringing up someone like Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg. Those guys certainly have enough money to help you. To them, millions is hardly anything, less than 1% of their worth. They're unlikely to even pick up your message, let alone offer to help. They don't know you. They don't care. They have the power to help, but not the desire. What you need is someone with power and compassion. And the Lord Jesus has both the power to save us from death and the compassion. So the sensible thing to do, if you ever need saving, is to call on his name. Now verses 8 to 9 return to the disaster. But now death, tears, stumbling are not what the psalmist feels surrounded by. They are what he has been delivered from. His soul delivered from death. His life has been saved. The danger is gone. His eyes delivered from tears. He has been spared the grief and sadness that would have come if he hadn't been saved. His feet delivered from stumbling. Instead of falling, he can walk before the Lord in the land of the living. We can be sure that if we call on the Lord Jesus in the face of sin and death, he will deliver us. That there is forgiveness of sin, escape from judgment, and the promise of eternal life. Ultimately, this psalm points us to the hope of resurrection. Christians really will be rescued from death itself. And we will walk before the Lord Jesus on this earth, in the land of the living, forever, when he returns and all things are made new. God will wipe the tear from every eye. There will be no more death or sadness or pain. And we know this because we know the Lord. Just as the psalmist knew God's power and compassion through the Exodus, and we know it through the Lord Jesus. But Jesus is not just the powerful and compassionate Lord able to rescue us from death. He is also the suffering servant of the Lord. On the cross, he was fully encompassed by the snares of death. He suffered distress and anguish and was brought low. Not just a near-death disaster, but death itself. But when he cried out to God, he was delivered. Not just rescued from dying, but from death. God raised him from the dead. Ultimately, this psalm speaks of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for us to take the punishment we deserve. And if we trust in him, his rescue from death can be our rescue. His resurrection can be our resurrection. We can have his life because he suffered our death. Without Jesus, we deserve only death. This testimony can only be ours because it was first his. But even as this psalm finds its ultimate meaning in Jesus' death and resurrection and our salvation from sin and death in him, it is also relevant for any lesser disaster in this life. If we know that God has already brought us from death to life and will one day defeat death fully, that gives us great confidence to pray in the face of other disasters too. We should cry to the Lord whenever we are met with sickness or enemies or other forces that endanger us. We may not get salvation immediately, but we can be sure that God is a compassionate God who hears all our prayers, including those for this life. So calling on him in the face of any disaster is the sensible thing to do. So call on the name of the Lord in disaster and in deliverance, verses 12 to 19. So verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? The psalmist moves from his recollection of the disaster he faced and how God delivered him to ask the question, How should I respond? What should I now give to God, given all that he has given to me? And his answer, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. And so the way he responds to God answering his call is to keep calling on his name. But he does more than just keep praying for help. After his rescue, he made vows, promises to God to honor him in a certain way, perhaps with old covenant sacrifices like a thanksgiving offering or a free will offering. And now he says that he will fulfill those vows. And there are three key things to see about these acts of worship that he promises. And firstly, they're thankful. So in verse 17, he wants to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And verse 19 ends, praise the Lord. And these are acts of thanks and praise. And secondly, they're in response to salvation. So he lifts a cup of salvation. In between talk about vows and sacrifices, we get verses 15 and 16. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. So even as he thinks about the vows that he made in response to this rescue, he can't help but dwell again on the rescue itself, how God released him from the bonds of death and set him free, how God did not let him die apart from his plan and approval and saw his death as precious. I'm so thankful in response to salvation. And thirdly, they're public in the presence of the gathered people of God. So verse 14, repeated in verse 18, reiterated in verse 19. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. And the psalmist sees the appropriate response, not just as private prayerfulness, but public praise. And this is a personal experience of salvation, resulting in a public expression of thanks and praise. And so how ought we to respond when we pray for rescue and God answers us? And both in the ultimate sense, when we realize our mortality and sin, cry out to the Lord Jesus, and in the gospel receive forgiveness and eternal life. But also in lesser ways, when we pray for ourselves or our friends and families facing sickness, poverty, persecution, or in some way suffering, and God kindly brings deliverance in this life. And when someone is healed from a sickness or recovers from a tragic accident, or a baby is safely delivered, or a need is surprisingly met, the answer is talk about it. Talk about that rescue, that deliverance, that mercy. And talk about how God saved you. And we see three types of talk in this psalm. Talking to yourself, talking to God, and talking to each other. And so first, talking to yourself. The clearest example is verse 7. Return, O my soul, to your rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with ye. And so the psalmist is kind of urging his own soul to rest. Even after we have experienced a great salvation, we don't always feel at peace. Sometimes we remain in a state of anguish and distress, even way after the disaster has passed. And now we needn't feel guilty when this happens, but we can try to talk ourselves out of it. Not with motivational self-help or kind of positive thinking, but by reminding ourselves of how God has dealt bountifully with us. And reminding ourselves of the mercy he has shown to us, the ways he has rescued us, how generous God has been. When your soul is not at rest, talk to yourself about the Lord and how he has heard your calls in the past. And secondly, talk to God. And so I will offer to you, that is to God, the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. So thanksgiving and continuing to call on the name's Lord, on the Lord's name in prayer, is the natural response. And thanksgiving because God has so bountifully dealt with us. It would be the height of ingratitude to receive a great answer to a desperate plea for mercy and then not even say thank you. And I'm calling on his name because he has proved himself reliable and trustworthy. If your experience of calling on the name of the Lord in disaster is that he listens and delivers you, why would you stop? You know that God hears your voice and your pleas for mercy. And you know that he inclines his ear to you. He has done it before. And so keep calling on him. And thirdly, talk to each other. I will pay my vows in the presence of all his people. And so the emphasis in this psalm is on public prayer and praise. It is right for us to talk to each other about our testimonies of dreadful disasters, desperate prayers, and divine deliverance. It would be great if we spoke to each other after services, not just to discuss the sermon, but to talk about our lives, our own experiences of answered prayers, and the ways in which God has delivered each of us from death, tears, and stumbling. To be thankful in the presence of one another for all the good that he has done, giving us all even more reason to praise him. So does anyone hear our prayers for help? Does anyone answer them? The message of this psalm is that Jesus hears the voice of all who cry to him, and he delivers them from death. So please let this certain truth encourage you to be quicker and bolder, to call out to Jesus for help in times of trouble, and to thank and praise him in times of rescue, and to talk to yourself, to God, and to others about your deliverance from disaster. And may it encourage us as God's people to thank and praise God together for the many ways he has dealt bountifully with us. We're going to continue in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word and how it points us to your character and how you want to be in relation, us to be in relationship with you. Father, we thank you that the psalmist shows us the only place we can receive help and deliverance, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that we can be confident in our prayers to you as we know you are powerful and gracious and compassionate to save us. We trust that you will make our steps sure and keep us close to you. Father, we thank you that if we trust in Jesus, we are saved from death into new life with you. We know we only deserve death, but our hearts overflow with gratitude, knowing that we are saved and have the promise of new life. Father, keep us turning to you in all situations of life, and to trust and know that you are working all things for your glory. Keep us praising you, dwelling on your salvation as a precious gift, and having boldness to proclaim your good deeds in London. And Father, we lift up those who are arriving in London over the next few months, whether that be worker or student. We pray that they would settle in quickly and find community here. We pray that you would keep them close to you and help them to know that you will provide